Welcome to Passion and Purpose with Pamela, celebrating all things woman. I'm Dr. Pamela Hardy Shepherd, here to ignite inspiration through conversations that spotlight women's power and their journeys. Let's share our light, our stories, and create a space of celebration for every woman. Here's to embracing our womanhood together.
Welcome to another inspiring episode of Passion and Purpose with Pamela. Today, we are so pleased to introduce Benita Bryan, an associate faculty member at the Academic Engagement Center in the School of General Studies at the University of Arizona Global. Benita's journey is one of unwavering dedication and education and creativity. Benita is a remarkable, prolific author of 12 books. With a wealth of experience in education teaching, Benita has imparted her knowledge in project management, business law, marketing, computer software, general education, and courses at esteemed institutions like the University of Phoenix, West Los Angeles College, Palisades High School, ITT Technical Institute, UCLA Extension, and the University of Arizona Global Campus. Benita is happily married to Norman, who treats her like a queen on a daily basis. Together, they have raised three successful young men of whom they are immeasurably proud of. Join us on this episode of Passion and Purpose podcast and explore Benita's passion and her education, her creative ventures, and inspiring journey. Welcome, Benita.
Well, Benita, we are so happy that you are here. I introduced you, and I would just hope that you would just tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I am so grateful to be here and be part of your Passion and Purpose podcast. I think what I would like to tell people about myself is that I have had a long journey of just being a mother, a wife, an employee, and I'm ready for a new journey in life that does not encompass an 8-to-5 job. So that is what Benita will be all about within the next 5 months. I've enjoyed teaching. I've taught for many years. I've enjoyed bringing other people up from the bottom, thinking that they couldn't make it in school. I've enjoyed coaching other individuals. I've worked with women from a prison ministry where they just got out of jail and really needed to understand how to just write a resume. I've had the privilege to work with young people in the community at a nonprofit organization where they didn't know how to use a computer, but the class ranged from 15 years old to 70 years old. So I have had just a plethora of experience with uplifting people, but now my passion and my purpose, as you say, is to start understanding what makes Benita happy. Wow. What is it that Benita wants to do that is solely around my happiness, and not to take other people and put them to the side at all, but I want to put myself first, probably for the first time in many, many years.
So I'm going to ask you, like, are you a baby boomer?
Yes.
Are you a baby boomer? Because we tend to do that.
Yes, I am a baby boomer, and I love being a baby boomer because during those times of growing up in the 60s and the 70s, you can't replace those type of memories. Things that went on during that era, I will never forget, you know, watching HR Puffin stuff and Mr. Green Jeans. That tells you my age. But it was things like that that made me think about how simple life was. Playing jacks on the cement in front of your home, tetherball, handball, just little simple things that I think our young generation, they will never know what it's like not to sit in front of a computer or a tablet or on their phone. as opposed to interacting with other people. So yes, I am a true baby boomer.
Wow. So, I want to digress before we get to, I don't know what chapter this is in your life, but how did you come up with us helping other people? What was it that got you started? What is it, because, like me, I can speak for myself, being an underdog and always being for the underdog, but tell us your reasoning for that, because that's really important.
I think mine started with taking my computer to a computer store one day, and I just needed a memory card. And I'm just one of those individuals where I'm watching everything this person is doing. And he opened up my computer, popped in a memory card, and said, "That will be $50." And I sat there, and of course, I watched the whole process. So I went home and I opened up my computer and I figured out what he did. And I not only figured out how to install memory cards, I started installing CD-ROMs and hard drives. So I started my own computer business called Bronze Technology. And I went into the community and start helping people purchase low-cost computers. One of my son's parents at his school at was stopping his business, and he closed it down and put a bunch of computers in a warehouse. And so Nicholas is like, "Mom, I heard you say you want to start a computer business. I have this person." So I go and I meet with this man, and he's like, "Okay, take all these computers that you want, and then we'll split the profit." So I sold the computers in the community for $150 a piece,
Oh my goodness.
including the keyboard, the mouse, and the computer. But what I did is I would give them training on how to use the software because they didn't know how to do that. So me and my sons would traipse from Calabasas to LA every weekend, and
Oh.
that's what we did for years. We went into the community and we found people, and mainly they came from my nonprofit that I was working with through UCLA, and it was called Operation Hope. And this young man started Operation Hope to help people in the community, and he opened up a cyber cafe. Well, many of my first clients were the students who came to for me to give them PowerPoint lessons and Microsoft Word lessons.
Oh my
And
goodness.
my 70-year-old student, his name was William, and I will never forget this man. And this is really what made me want to help people. He was 70 years old with terminal cancer. He would get on the bus from East Los Angeles to come to my class every Saturday.
Oh my goodness.
So when I sold him the computer, I was trying to give it to him. He was like, "Oh, no. This is your business, and I respect your business." So he gave me the little $150, and my sons and I would go to his house on the weekend, and we taught him how to use Microsoft Word. And that man stays in my heart to this day. And I thought, okay, this is what your passion is. This is what your purpose is. You are supposed to go to the community and you are to help and become technological savvy, but also teach them how to use software to help themselves, like Microsoft Excel. I taught him how to put his little budget in, and he was excited about putting his little budget in the Excel spreadsheet. I
I
taught
love
my
that.
aunt, who was probably 70 years old at the time, how to put her bills into Microsoft Excel. Then her girlfriends would come over and say, "Oh, I saw that you taught your aunt how to do it. Can you teach me how to do it?" So it just turned into this cycle of helping, helping, helping. And at that time, I was charging like $25 a person. And that didn't bother me at all, because I wasn't this person who was business savvy at that time, as you can tell with the price. I just wanted to see the smile on their faces when me and my sons walked out the door, and then they would just be so excited about, "I just learned a new skill."
Wow. That is so awesome. And I love the fact that your clients, the people that you taught, were ranged in age, and somebody who had terminal cancer who would get on the bus. And see, I like that because It's how bad do you want it? A lot of times
Exactly.
people say they want things, but they're not willing to do what it takes. He did what it took to get what he wanted. Oh my goodness. That's a powerful story.
And he did that up until his dying days, you know, and my sons and I found out when he passed, we cried, we boo-hooed because he touched our lives in such a way. And you think about all these people who don't want to get up and go to work. I don't want to work at McDonald's. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But you don't ever hear them say, but what I really want to do in life is this. And here's my plan of action. And I'm going to take it to the next level. William, who knew he didn't have much time to live, he decided before he left this earth, he wanted to learn how to use a computer. And he did whatever it took to learn how to use a computer. So when I teach my students, I will share that story with them sometimes to give them encouragement, to give them a sense of hope, because there's no reason for people nowadays not to take advantage of learning a skill set. Many times you can learn it for free. You don't have to pay right away if you don't have the money, but you have to have the passion.
I love that. And you are so right. You are so right. So we're going to move forward. And so I know that you are a faculty member and you're teaching classes. And so what is different from back then to now? What is different?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just more rules and regulations in an adult education space. So you have to be careful when you go into that classroom and present yourself. You have to stay completely above board in terms of the words that come out of your mouth. You have to have compassion. You have to understand. I teach a course called Gen 101, which is the very first course that they take when they come to the university. And so I have people who may not have been in school for 20 years. I have people who have just recently been released from prison. I have people who are homeless, virtually homeless, but still trying to figure out how to get a degree. So they are my shining stars as soon as they walk into the classroom. And I think the difference with this group of individuals is that they pull on my heartstrings from the moment we start our discussion. It's the moment they give me their first paper and I have to critique and give them some words of encouragement to give them ways to enhance their paper. I feel like a counselor, you know, at the same time, because some of the things that they share with me, what they're going through, I understand. And so I have to try to figure out how to work with them. And it's like 30 students in a classroom. So you have 30 sets of circumstances and 30 sets of personalities that you have to figure out how to navigate. But I love teaching adults. That's always been my passion. I taught for West LA College first, and that was my first introduction to teaching adults. And I realized that it was way different than teaching in a high school environment. Which I only did that for a short period of time because I realized that was not my space. That wasn't my space. But when I started working with adults, that was where my flow. I understood what they were going through because I was 38 years old when I got my first degree. And so I could relate to them and I can share my story with them. And when I do that, then they just open up like floodgates. And that's where I'm sitting there just beaming now because I'm like, tell me more. Tell me, you know, what is your purpose? What is it that you want to do? What's your goal? And then we do something called SMART goals, and they have to literally write their SMART goals down. And basically with SMART goals, they have to have something that is specific, that is measurable. They have to, you know, make sure that they are writing things that it has time management, a timeline involved. And sometimes they don't know what that means and how to do that. So I get the pleasure of walking them through this process. And then at the end of the course, they're just like, oh my gosh, I have a goal now. And I have a set of instructions to help me get to that end goal.
So I wanted to ask you, because This was my experience teaching in the classroom face to face, fostered teaching in an online environment because, and you tell me if I'm incorrect, but I always believe as somebody who's teaching in an online environment, you have to be able to read behind the words and be cognizant of the words because your words have a tone. I always say the students have a PhD in reading behind your words that come that you write down on a paper. And if you can express that, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
So in the online classroom, you have to rely on your words, but I also use video. So I videotape myself and I send a video to every student in the intro week so they can understand who they're talking to. They can get a feel for my freckles on my face and my expressions on my face. And that helps a lot. I also do audio recording so they hear my voice. And if I do an audio, I don't usually do a video with it. I'll just do audio and I'll do response back to their feedback so they can hear my tone. But when I'm having to respond in a discussion, I am this person where I will put a really nice image that I find on, the free image somewhere, and it's usually going to be a words of encouragement. You got this. I know you can do this. If I know a student is really going through something, I find one that's more, based on being compassionate about their situation. So I try to incorporate as many things as I can to make it feel like we're still in that real-time brick and mortar space. That's my goal, because I know that when I was doing online, and I did undergrad and grad online in an online environment, I did do school at Cal State Long Beach for only 1 year, brick and mortar. But online was my thing because then I got an opportunity to really understand, ooh, how do you navigate this space? So when I did it, I was like, okay, I'm ready to show someone else how to do this. So it's just a matter of just making sure you watch your tone. Be compassionate, have tons and tons of gratitude for even being in that space. To become an adjunct faculty member is a was a goal of mine, and so I was able to do that. So now I just want to share with my students, like, look, this is what I did. This is how I accomplished it. So let's do a plan of action for you to do it as well.
I love it. And you're a woman after my own heart. You really are, because you are a giver and you really like to help people and help bring people, let them see what they can achieve and you show them that. And so I am so grateful to you for that.
Oh, thank
So
you.
you are so welcome. And and all your creativity. In the introduction, I said she's authored 12 books. Can you share about these 12 books? Because I know as smart as you are, as passionate as you are very creative. And so if you could share, how did that get started and what else are you working on as well, if you could share that as well.
Sure. So, because I have this creative energy, I felt like in my workplace, I wasn't able to really express myself enough. So, I had to find an outside outlet. And so, I found out about KDP, Amazon Publishing. And once I found out about that, it opened up this floodgate of all this stuff that was in me. And so I started off just learning how to just do a basic cover page, learning how to just do templates. So I did journals at first, blank journals with just lines, but I got the thrill of designing the cover page. And so I was able to do it all through KDP and with Canva. And so I started teaching myself a little bit more, a little bit more. And then I learned how to do A plus content, which allowed me to really do some nice little covers that would show on the page, and it was giving me a mock-up of my book. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, look at you. You're doing it. You're really doing it now. So then I went from journals to activity books. And then I went from activity books to stress management books. And the way that came about, I was going through my own personal anxiety through 2020. And not only was I going through that, but my faculty members that I oversee, they too were going through that. And so I started creating a journal, but this time it was a prompt journal. So they had to see guidelines of how are you feeling today? What steps have you taken to get you through today? Then I started doing activity books that had words of encouragement on the opposite page. Mm-hmm. And my coloring books are for more for the adults than the children at that time. And so I found that coloring books for me helped me with my anxiety. I'm a child at heart. And so I created several adult-based coloring books. And I used the Mandela pattern, which is around circular objects with a lot of intricacy inside. But you can take your pen and you can take your colors and you could just go crazy with creating this amazing picture, if you will. And then I went from that to, I had a Zoom session with a coworker, and her little girl's 8 years old. And she was in the background saying, "Miss Benita, can you make a coloring book with a unicorn on it?" And I thought it was so cute. I was like, yes, I can do that. So I started creating a couple of unicorn coloring books. This little girl, she will sit there for hours, her mother says, with my coloring book, just painting and drawing, and she gets such a thrill out. 8 years old.
Wow.
And then one day she came up with another idea. Well, now since you did that, and she came up with some other ideas, she says, yeah, I want a rainbow in the background. And then I want this little doggy, but it has to be this kind of doggy. And so I'm listening to this amazing child, and I'm like, her creativity is like off the chain. Now, I never got a chance to do all these on it, but what I was able to do was just continue my journey in the edge and in the publishing space. And I just learned more and more how to just create these amazing for free with Amazon KDP. And I'm thinking anybody out there who wants to get started in the publishing space and you don't have all that money for marketing, check out Amazon KDP. It's an amazing product. I have enjoyed it tremendously. I can't wait after I retire to start diving deeper. I want to create an ebook. I have so many things in my head that I want to still create, but that's how I got, that's the gist of how I got into the publishing space.
And the beauty about you is that you share it, because I went the other route, my first book. I went the other route, and I paid for all that because I went and started a publishing company and did all that. And you told me about it, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to do this book like that. And it was so much easier because I didn't have all of the other stuff I had to do, whether I wanted to market it or I didn't want to market it.
Right.
I marketed that first book and I did all the work, and it was work. I will not lie, but it was gratifying. And so I want you guys to hear this, because that's one thing about Benita that I also love about her is if she has something, she always shares. It is like she has, and this is why I love her, is because there's more than enough for everybody. You know, we could sit in here with the same dress on, and we're going to accentuate it different. We're going to have something different about it. But she believes, and I believe, there's more than enough for everybody. So when you have something, share it with other people. And go ahead, Benita. go ahead and continue to share with us.
Well, you mentioned what other things do I have in my data bank. I call it the Benita's head, is what they hear me say this at work. You know how Benita's head works, and it works crazy. So my next venture that I really want to get into, I designed in my home a gallery wall. And that gallery wall started from buying a new sofa set. And I said, nope, I need something that's going to complement my new sofa set. And it all started from some wood background wallpaper, white wood, and I put that on the wall, my husband and I. And then I started going to Temu and I saw all these amazing jazz prints. So here's the jazz theme for reason why that started. When I was 7 years old, my uncle had a jazz room. And in his jazz room, he would play Miles Davis. He would play Earth, Wind, and Fire. I was seven. And he was a jazz buff. Everybody's outside playing. I'm in the jazz room jamming to Miles Davis and Earth, Wind, and Fire and all the other plethora of jazz artists that he introduced me to. So that wall is a tribute to him. I have jazz musicians on the wall. I have pianos. I have bass guitars. I have saxophones. I have people dancing in a party environment. And that's what their home was to me. So Uncle Jack is who I contributed to, his wife, Aunt Dot, that you'll hear me say often. But that's how I grew up. I grew up with that room. And so my wall is that way. So in the future, I would like to create walls in other people's homes that give them some type of memory experience, going down memory lane, and just take one wall in their home and just let them tell me what is it that you believe that really made you who you are today? What is that thing that you grabbed onto and you always remember? And I would love to start doing that. Just give people a wall in their home to just have that peace of mind. And just look at it every day and go, yes, I remember those days. I remember the good times. Or I remember that aunt, that uncle, your mom, your father, whoever it may be. Just, I really want to go to that extent now.
I love that because many times, whether we're a visual person or not, when you sit back and it's like, what's in front of me is my vision board, and it gives me hope. And to me, that's what that is. It gives you a sense of hope and memories and things that you want to continue to create. And so we'll be looking forward to that. That's going to be really, really
Yeah,
super. So.
I equate it to a big giant vision board.
I
That's what
like
I thought about when I
that.
finished. I was like, yeah, because I was a vision board person too for many years. And you and I have talked about that many times where the vision boards are amazing tools for you to structure your destiny. And so for years I did vision boards, but when I started looking at how I could make that look different in my home, I was like, okay, that's still a vision board, but now it just takes on a whole nother level. So
It
yes,
does.
vision boards are definitely how I kind of started this process.
I love that. I love that. We'll be looking forward to that. And by the way, everyone, every book and every link and everything, all of the things that Benita does will be in the notes. So you don't have to worry. We'll make sure that we have how to get a hold of her. So when you want your as you get ready to do, I don't know, what are you gonna call the board
A
behind
wall.
the
I call
wall?
it gallery wall, or we can call it vision gallery wall. I haven't had a name, came up with a name, but right now I'm calling it a gallery wall.
Okay, so when you're ready to do your gallery wall, you'll be able to have her information to get started. So, Benita, I want to ask you, so you said something that really caught my attention about in 5 months. What is going to change in 5 months? Share
Well, God has blessed me to have worked in the educational industry. It will be 39 years come December, and I have re decided to retire from the educational space. I have been blessed to have worked for UCLA and USC and ITT Tech and University of Phoenix and now University of Arizona Global. And I'm ready to take on another journey. So I will be retiring to join my husband, who is already retired, and taking trips. We are already going to Dominican Republic in August. We're going to Bahamas in January. And just yesterday, we booked an Alaskan cruise,
My
which
God.
will be next year in
I
July.
love it.
So we are getting ready to experience life with each other. Right now, he's retired, but he watches me work really hard throughout the day. Even working from home, it takes up a lot of my time, and
More
I'm ready
time.
for my time to be just that, my time. So the cruise in January will be celebration for my retirement after 39 years of working in education.
I love that. It's like another world.
A whole nother
You
world.
never think you're going to, and this is the thing about baby boomers. We work and we work. And I was listening to an audiobook, and the guy was saying, people, 3 years after people retire, the mortality rate goes up. And I surely know that because in some cultures, like in Japan, they call it the ikigai. They don't have the word retirement. They just find another purpose in what they do, their friends, their family, their travel, being with one another. And I love that you are getting ready to dive into that. And you're gonna say, why didn't I start this long time ago? It's crazy because we were raised to go to school, get an education, get a good paying job, and then you stay there forever. And it's a little different from the young people today, but we could take a little bit of what they do, and they could take a whole lot of what we do, but
What
they
we
don't
do.
want to be like us.
No,
They don't
they
want to
don't.
be like this. And I understand. I get it. So you're getting ready to embark on something that is going to be special. Have you thought about how it's going to change you as an individual?
I already wake up with pains in my hand because of typing, pains in my arm. I look forward to having more activity in my life because I have not been very active because of working from home. I look forward to getting back on the tennis courts. Believe it or not, I was a tennis player at Cal State Long Beach my first year. I played tennis with my boys who were in tennis tournaments every year until they were probably 10 years old. And so that activity that I had back then created a healthier me. And I want to see her again. I look back at my old pictures and I look at myself now and I'm like, yeah, working from home took a toll. I asked that on my vision board in 2016 for me to work from home full time. I got that. I was granted that opportunity, but I never knew the toll that it would take on my body. So what I see is waking up and then just having the ability to not have a to-do list if I don't want to.
That's right.
Having the ability to get up with my husband who goes to different, he joins marathons almost every month. I'm sitting here looking at three of his medals right now for marathons that he just ran within the last, walked, I should say, in the last 2 months. And so every morning he can walk 18,000 miles. He shows me on his phone, guess what I did today? And I want to join him. I want to do that. He is very conscious about being healthy. And I'm like, I let that go. I didn't think about me as a person who needed to move. And so I look forward to having a healthier body. We're watching our diet now and things like that. So I'm getting prepared, but I'm looking forward to just being outdoors and just enjoying the air and smelling the roses. I know it sounds all cliche, but
No,
that's what I want to
no.
do. I want to go outside, look at the trees, smell the roses, walk on a trail, ride my bike, just be active so I can be healthier.
And what I hear you also saying is just being present. Because as we, when we think about when we work from home, and I remember I used to have a bottle of Excedrin that sat on my desk
Yes,
every
you
day.
told me.
And when you work from home, you actually work longer hours. And so by the time you get off, you're not trying to think about working out. That isn't like what you want to do. But
No.
you when you think about it, And you're doing your own thing. You have more joy. And you don't, you know what? I have joy absolutely doing nothing. When I walk the dog in the morning, I look at the trees, I look at the sky, I look at the clouds. I didn't have time to look at clouds before. I
I
didn't look
know.
at a cloud. I
Simple
was
stuff.
so busy trying to get to the next, the next, the next. I got to do this, 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 this. I wasn't being present. And I feel more present now, and I'm so grateful. So I listen to everybody that's, in corporate America, or they have their businesses and they're doing the things that they're doing. I get it. But at this stage in my life, I am the happiest I've ever been. I don't have to do this podcast. I do it because I want to help somebody else, like you're helping somebody else by telling your story.
Exactly. That's why I
So,
said when I grow up, I want to be just like you.
no, you
I
don't.
say that. Yes, I do.
No.
I want to have that peace. And when I say that, it's that peace and that freedom that you have now. That peace and that freedom, that's priceless. You can't put a price tag on that life, right? You can't wake up in the morning and do the things that you want to do when you don't have that freedom to do that because you need to get to a meeting or you need to make sure a report is turned in. And
Yes.
all of those things, again, I am so grateful that I've had that opportunity to learn, to go to training courses, to go to conferences. All of that stuff is helping me be who I became. But the new journey for Benita is just having that. Ooh, that exhilaration feeling of, okay, what am I going to do today? And whether that's go to a museum, which I love, whether it is going to a concert in the park,
Yes.
those are the things that I miss. And that's what I'm looking forward to. So that's why I say, when I grow up, I want to be like you because I literally walk through your life and I live vicariously through your travels and everything that I've seen you do since your departure from education. And I'm like, yep, I'm going to do that. That's going to be on my list. It's on my bucket list.
And I thank you for saying that because the one thing I'm really clear about, I don't put the stuff up like on Facebook to say, look what we did. It is more about education and being able to expose people, like, yeah, you can do that too. And let me tell you how we got to Egypt. It was a woman who, when she was a girl, went to school with my daughter, and she went to Egypt. And I said, how did you? Because I've been wanting to go to Egypt since I was 10. And she told me, well, it was Mr. Brown Sugar. I said, Mr. Brown Sugar. I said, okay. And I did everything on Messenger. I never talked to him on the phone. And for 14, 15 days, we went to Egypt and had a fantastic time. I got to see that those pyramids,
Pyramids,
the Giza pyramids that I seen in a Raggedy World book when I was 10 years old. And I said, I want to go there, not knowing I probably could have gotten there sooner, but it never came up. The timing wasn't right.
Wasn't right.
And so it has truly been a blessing. And I have to say this, my husband, because he spent 28 years in the Marine Corps and he's gone to Australia and these places, it was always with the military. And when I said, hey, let's travel somewhere, he's like, no, I don't do that. And I was like, no, you don't do that.
Don't do that.
No. But then it was baby steps. And now he's like, oh, we can go wherever we want to go at this
He's
point.
hooked. All it takes is that one trip, that one excursion that's going to make you change your perspective. And so
He
I'm glad that he
does.
jumped on board because you guys are definitely enjoying life the way it's supposed to be enjoyed. Seeing
It
the
really
world, not
is.
just staying in,
Oh, no.
one location. For years, I was in California and had not ever traveled outside of,
I didn't want to travel outside California because I thought that was the best place to be, coming from Iowa.
I did too. I did too. I was born and raised there, but after a while, it wasn't until my mother's passing that I felt the courage to travel outside of just California. because I wasn't going anywhere when she was still on this earth. That just wasn't going to happen. But when she went on to be with Glory, I was like, okay, Mom, I think I can do it now. I can take those baby steps and move to Texas. Who knew I would ever move from California to Texas and then move from Texas to Illinois? Okay. I was like, you are just doing it. And I'm like, yes. And it might sound trivial to some people, no, you know, going from California to Texas to Illinois, but the difference in those three states is massive. And yes. So what I'm learning and what I'm seeing and what I'm experiencing, the snow in Illinois, I'm just like, oh my,
yes,
the snow. Now, people who live here, they're like, no, you get over that real quick. I don't like to see my husband shoveling the snow in our walkway because that's a lot of work. But other than that, I love seeing white snow on the ground. I love seeing the deer prints in my front yard. Freaks me out at first. The first time I was like, what is that? He's like, don't worry about it. It's a deer. I'm like, a deer is in. He's like, yeah, they're right across the street. Okay. I'm from California, not used to those kind of things, but I love it. I love it.
Wow. Well, I want to ask you if there is something that you wanted, something or several things you wanted to share with women, what are those things that you want to be very clear and concise about? Well, just, you know, list them, say them, tell us what it is, because you have an amazing background and I just want you to be able to tell us what is it that you want to tell us.
So I would say stand up for yourself, number one, because I think as a young woman, I had really hard time doing that, especially in corporate America, where you work with a lot of different types of women, different from different persuasions. I didn't know how to stand up for myself and speak out. And I would say, never lose your voice, stand up for yourself, speak your truth, show up in your perfect space as yourself, authentic self. That's number one. Number two is get the education that you need so you can propel yourself forward. Don't procrastinate. And it doesn't have to be your traditional method of getting education. Whatever you can afford that will allow you to go forward in life, do that. Whether it's a Microsoft class, whether it's a certification program, whether it's community college, whatever it takes for you to just move forward. Because I see so many of our young women and they're stagnant in terms of going forward and they're not really sure how to do it. And finances play a big part in that. And I understand we're in an economic downward spiral and people don't have those funds, but there's free services out there. There's grant opportunities out there. So I would say just be resourceful, research, and figure out what it is you need to do to go to your next level. And I think the last thing I would say is just have ultimate respect for yourself at all times. Don't ever let anyone downplay who you are, what you are capable of, and how you plan to show up in this world, because you control your destiny, not other people. The one book that I have in my head is about other people and the power we give other people. Because I did that so much in my younger years. I worried about what other people thought, what they would say. I would try to mimic the women in my workforce because I thought, oh, let me straighten my hair because I can show up more and look like a professional if I straighten my hair. If it wasn't that, it was trying to dress like they dressed. And I lost myself in the process. So I would say, always be who you are. Of course, in a corporate environment, you can't show up just any kind of way, but you can show up in clothing that suits who you are. You can wear your hoop earrings. Wearing hoop earrings like the size I have on now. Oh no, I wouldn't dare do that back in the day because, oh, that's not very professional. So show up who you want to show up as. Respect yourself at all times, move forward in life with education, and then just never lose yourself to anyone else's comments, words, or opinions. Just don't do it.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Now, I just got to digress. Just one thing you said, because you said, be your authentic self. What is that? What does that look like? What is that? Can you explain?
So when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, you can see like for me, I see my freckles, I see whatever little flaws that I think are flaws, but that's still who I am. That's part of me. So when I walk out the door, if someone doesn't like the freckles, oh well, you just have to deal with that. So when I show up as my authentic self, what I mean is that I am showing up as the person that my mother created. Whatever that means to other people, that might not, you know, I might not show up in the right way. I might say things that's not really the way that other people would say them. In Zoom meetings, I have to catch myself all the time because I might want to say this, this, and that, but I have to pull back. But I still make sure my voice is heard and I catch myself and I still present what it is I feel that I want to get out. So when I say authentic self, it means just say what you have to say, dress how you need to dress, be comfortable in your own skin at all times.
I love it. I love it. Oh my goodness. We could go on forever because I just love talking to you. We didn't get into the other part about men and husbands and things. So my question to you is, will you come back? Because we have to have a conversation about that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All you have to do is call. You know how to find me. You and I and our conversations are something I look forward to. And you know that. Hours and hours of talking on the phone. Now I get to do this with your podcast space. And I just want to say, I appreciate you. I appreciate your space. I appreciate everything that you've ever done for me in my life. You are a blessing ever since I met you. So keep being who you are. And I get that authentic self piece from watching you every single day.
Thank you. See, now I wasn't prepared for that.
I really wasn't.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. It's really heartfelt because from the first day I met you at work and and walking up there, you know, it was like a mirror.
Yeah.
I seen a mirror. So what you are saying to me, it is truly what I see when I see you. And I'm grateful for our relationship. And I'm grateful that you're going to be doing some fantastic things because I'm going to be able to live vicariously through the things that you do. I'm so looking forward to the joy that you and your husband will have. And I thank you for coming on to this podcast because I'm honored to have you here. And so I'm going to invite you back and we're going to do that girlfriend talk about husbands and relationships and stuff.
So without a doubt.
We just thank you so much, Bonita. Thank you for being here and
welcome.
We will see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all for joining us today on Passion and Purpose. It's been wonderful to connect with you, and I hope you found our conversation as enlightening and inspiring as I have. A huge thanks to our guests who contributed to the discussion and share their experiences and insights. Your stories are the heartbeat of this podcast, and it's a joy to explore our passions and purpose together. I'm Pamela, reminding you to live with passion and purpose. Until next time, take care and keep reaching for your dreams.